We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is becoming more annoying and alarming by the second here, this Pirates-Reds thing. Nicholas Callis in here, a.k.a. Harry Callis. How are you, Harry?
Doing great.
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
I reunited with my old producer, Craig Riley, for the first hour of the show. That was exciting as well. And I understand you're not even staying for the whole thing, are you?
Nope. T-Bird will be in at noon.
T-Bird in at noon.
Yes,
so you're
sir.
In for an hour.
Yeah.
What else you got going on today?
The PM
the whole
team.
Show? The PM team.
Yep.
Why don't you just do the marathon? You have to prepare for the PM team.
I do. They have thorough prep. They like me in the back.
Yeah. Unlike us. That was a shot at me, wasn't it?
No, not at all. You usually just text me. They need me in person, and yeah. They need Donnie in person. I know.
Well, where's Donnie?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll enjoy our hour together, won't we?
We will.
I'm reading about the Reds now on The Athletic. The 2023 Reds have gone from being this likely a bridge year to suddenly being time to contend. And while any World Series talk obviously seems far-fetched, making the playoffs is not out of the realm of possibility. And they're doing it now with this suddenly Ellie De La Cruz, this young stud, and some other young guys. They got another guy at AAA. Let me bring on Mr. Jason Mackey. He is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. You can read his stuff at the Post-Gazette. Where are all the Pirates prospects tearing up the minors and getting ready to come up here, specifically tearing up AAA? And what do you make of this sudden Reds phenomenon? You buying it?
I'm going to cite what Andrew McCutchen said the other night, where Robbie asked him on the field something about being in first place, and he got a little surly and said it's June. I'm still in that camp. It's great they've played the baseball they have, but it's June. So I think there needs to be a little bit of relaxation there. Now, where are all the Pirates prospects, Joe? I think is a fair question to wonder. We've talked a lot about Andy Rodriguez, Henry Davis, Nick Gonzalez. You'd like to see those guys, Quinn Priester, et cetera. But as I don't know if it's online or not, but your column pointed out and others have pointed out as well, there's not a lot of starting pitching help on the horizon. If you're going to look for infield help, outfield help, that sort of stuff, there's not a ton on the horizon. So I don't know. I mean, I can sit here and wonder what's going on with Travis Swaggerty, Nick Gonzalez. I don't think either of them are ready. Are Cal Mitchell, Kanan Smith, and Jigba going to provide a legitimate spark? I don't know. I would not make a case for Andy Rodriguez, Henry Davis being ready at this very moment. You could want more, but I also think there's a brand of it that you can just say it's June. They've played reasonable baseball, and we'll see what transpires here.
I want one guy that I think people might want to come out to the ballpark to see his debut. And I suppose it wasn't even really Cruz. Cruz didn't catch our attention till he was already in the majors. I want one guy, especially after you tank for 3 years, to rocket through the minors and have 1,000 OPS at AAA, like this guy, this kid the Brewers called up, Joey Weimer, or like this De La Cruz. I want that guy, and I don't really see him. Or I'd settle for a guy who's, 5-1 and striking out 13 batters per 9 innings. I want a superstar. I want a star. Where is he?
I get what you're saying, Joe. I think Andy Rodriguez can be that. He just hasn't had a great start to the season. I think the Pirates have given their fans O'Neill Cruz, and that's really exciting. And then he fractured his ankle, and that sucks. Like, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, Rowanzi Contreras this season has been a disappointment. I think he's shown flashes that he could be really good. We don't quite know what to make of Luis Ortiz. Those are fair questions to ask. I think Henry Davis is going to be really good, but I look at it from a defensive standpoint, neither of them are ready. So I don't think the Pirates have done, you know, if we're going to say, like, have they done something wrong? Have they screwed something up? No.
Too early to know about Charrington's drafts?
I think so. I mean, yeah. Priester was not even a Charrington draft pick, and that's what we're talking about. Like, you know, Gonzalez is in AAA. He's not experiencing anything that is, like, hugely wrong with his development. It's okay for a guy that started the season this year in AAA to not be ready at this point. Like, I feel like you can't ding Charrington on that. Now, can you look at some of Charrington's trades and say, like, you kind of botched the Clay Holmes trade, you kind of botched the Josh Bell trade? Completely fair. You know, I'm not defending that. But I don't look at the drafting and say, like, the guys you've drafted from 2020 should be here, otherwise you've screwed up. No, I think that's a little unfair.
No, I'm not looking at it that way necessarily. But you have to monitor progress along the way. And I'm certainly wondering about Nick Gonzalez. I'm wondering about him. And I don't know. I would just, whether it was from the Huntington regime or the new one, I just wish there was one or two guys who were tearing it up ready to join this team. And I don't see it. Are guys tearing it up lower in the minors? Like the group they brought in last year that opened eyes around the baseball world when they convinced guys not to play football. And suddenly, you know, it's a very talented group. How are they doing in the low minors?
So Anthony Salometto, he's not the one they convinced to go away from football. That was Bubba Chandler. But I'm going to start with Salometto because he's been really, really good. I was just looking at him actually this morning at high A. He's probably on his way, you know, as a high school draft pick, is going to be in double A this year, you know, as a 19-year-old kid. Like, that's pretty darn good. Chandler has looked really good at times but has not got off to a great start numbers-wise. He's the two-way kid they took away from Clemson and had a real was dynamite last year at low A, has gone up to high A and has kind of had to adjust a little bit. I'm not ready to punt on him by any stretch of the imagination. That's also the Henry Davis draft. And you've got a kid at 1-1 who's in AAA now at this point, you know, is a couple good weeks away from the majors. Like I don't see an issue there. Tamar Johnson was their number one pick in 2022. He's an affiliated ball and now sort of getting a little hotter at low A. Like, I don't think that's a damning thing. Now, some of the other guys you're talking about from the 21 draft, Owen Kellington and Braylon Bishop, they're the fourth and fifth. They took, like, five of the top 80. They haven't really done much. I can't present much of a case there. But, you know,
Did you mention Lonnie White?
No, I don't. He's been injured. He's in extended spring training right now. Like, he hasn't really done much.
Okay. Now, I was just looking for an update because him, Chandler, in particular, it felt like were the two guys that everybody was like, wow, you know. And I think they convinced him not to play football, too, if I'm not mistaken. Correct? At Penn State?
He was a Penn State kid. They took him away from that. Yep.
So I guess, I don't know, maybe those are unfair expectations. I just wish we were getting more incredible news or some incredible news out of the minors. Like this guy coming up for the Reds just sort of opened my eyes. And the guy with the Brewers, Weimer.
Yeah. No, Weimer's on an 8-game hitting streak. I was just looking into him this morning. He's been really, really good for them. De La Cruz is fun, man. Like he I've been talking to the Reds writers about him for a year or two now. Like, you know, he's a lot like O'Neill Cruz, basically, for the Cincinnati version. Like speed, power, tall, shortstop, Dominican. Like there are so many comps. And I'm really going to be excited to watch him. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just I feel like the Pirates kind of got their prospect presence a little bit earlier than other teams. And they may come later, too. Like, I think Quinn Priester is going to be really good. It's just right now he's not ready, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like he's going to get here in August, and I don't know if the Reds are going to – I don't know their system well enough that they're going to have somebody here like that. It's just not at this moment.
What's the situation with him right now? I noticed he goes from allowing zero runs to allowing many to allowing zero to allowing many. The highlights show he's got an unbelievable overhand curve. Is his velocity down? How does the organization feel about him? And are we going to see him soon, or are they holding him back for financial reasons?
No, it's not financial. I mean, it's what you're talking about, Joe, where, you know, it's really good, it's really bad, it's really good, it's really bad. His velocity is down a little bit. It's nothing that I have had put to me as a concern. I mean, it's still 93, 94. Before it's been kind of 96, 97. I wonder how much of that is trying to slow it down to work on some things. You know, his issue, like a lot of young pitchers, has just been consistency, executing pitches in the zone where, you know, I know that sounds like a cliche, but, you know, if you're going to get into a 3-1 count and then have to throw a guy a meatball, that's not really executing your pitches in the zone, you know, and he's got a really good overhand curve, but he's got more than that too. And it's sort of getting a feel for those pitches. He came out of high school and I've covered him since that draft. The curveball has always been his best secondary pitch. He's also added a slider, has tinkered with a sinker, has refined his changeup. He has to be able to use those in a game. And at this point, you know, being his age at that level, it's not always an option for him to have more than two pitches. And so you're working on him to be able to throw those for strikes, to be able to put himself in advantageous counts, to be able to do what a catcher or a coach or a game plan is telling him to consistently do. And there are nights where he's able to really, really do it. And there are nights that he's not able to really, really do it. And I think he's close. You know, I truly believe we're going to see Priester at some point. I just don't think it's going to be next week.
Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, brought to you by Westminster College, where real experiences lead to real success. All right, so what do you do with the rotation now, and how concerned are you about the rotation? You know what? Let's start with Mitch Keller.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about the rotation, but I don't know what I can do, Joe. I mean, I'm certainly not changing anything with Mitch. I realize 3 starts, 15 earned runs. I believe that's what it's been. The strikeout stuff is last time out. He only had 1 punch out, has been largely getting strikeouts. But what are you going to do? I'm going to keep running him out there. I'm going to tell him to do his thing. I'm going to try to build him up and get confidence. I mean, that's
not
a move I make.
What's your level of concern with this guy? That's what I'm asking.
Not a ton. Okay. Not a ton.
Okay.
I mean, of all the issues in their rotation, like, Mitch is down on the list for me. Rowanzi is very high on the list for me. I'd like to send him to the bullpen and give him some time to work on that stuff. I thought his fastball looked really good coming out of there, but I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do to fill the spot. I mean, you've got Keller, Hill, Oviedo, Ortiz. Okay, great. Velasquez ain't coming back anytime soon. You know, Burroughs, Brubaker are both down. If I go to AAA, I don't want to rush Priester. Caleb Smith, a major league journeyman, like, might have been an option. He's on the IL down there. The other option I can present you is Osvaldo Beto, who threw 2 innings in spring and was actually halfway decent and has put up some pretty decent numbers up there. He's not a ranked prospect, like 26 or 27, but it's an option. He could start a game and I think not embarrass himself, which is not a ringing endorsement. You could jump Jared Jones from AA. I don't like that option. I feel like that's desperation. Same with Kyle Nicholas down there. You could try to dumpster dive and find somebody off the scrap heap. Not quite sure what that would look like. You may just have to run Rowanzi back out there and try to fix his issues at the major league level. But if he has another outing like he did yesterday, that's going to get bad.
And we're going to get an update on Velasquez when, do you think?
Tomorrow. Todd Tomczyk talks tomorrow. And this is – I talked to Vince in Seattle about this, and this was not good, and he was getting various tests. They normally have Todd talk to us on Wednesday. We're talking to Todd on Friday now because there's going to be more thorough information, I think is the way it was put to me, which to me tells me they're trying to find a way to avoid having him done for the year. Maybe they found him, maybe they didn't, but I don't expect this absence to be short for Vince.
Okay, now let's get to the New York Mets coming into town and just the team at large, Jason. What do you believe? Do you think they're going to hang around here for a while? I see these rotation problems that have suddenly reared their head to be problematic. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang around for long. You?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to define hang around. Like, I think they're going to be okay for a little while. I think they're going to struggle against teams like the Mets. But if I look at their division and their upcoming schedule, like, after the Mets, you're looking at the Cubs for 3. Cubs stink. You're going to play the Brewers. Brewers have been okay, but they're not world beaters. Then you get the Cubs again. They stink. They're going to have an opportunity to kind of hang around a little bit. But yes, the rotation worries me. Just attrition, depth, that sort of thing. And honestly, Joe, this is sort of the way I expected this season to go, that they would have a halfway decent start, but their depth is going to bite them and they're not going to be able to sustain it. I mean, I think there's going to be a brand of being okay here. Like, I do think Keller's going to be fine. I think Oviedo is going to be a legitimate major league starter. I think Hill's going to give them professional outs. And, like, they're not going to completely go into the tank, but they're above 500. And the way I see it, it's going to sort of gradually, you know, chip away. Now, I don't think it's going to be instantaneous. I think they're going to be able to bob along around 500. I think the division is largely mediocre, and they'll kind of stay within some semblance of striking distance. But if this starting pitching situation doesn't improve, man, like that process may speed up.
I'm dying to know what they're thinking in the draft. I ask you every week, but it grows closer and closer. And I watched Skeens pitch, was it last Friday, I believe, and he was unbelievable. 100 miles an hour on the black. You talk about getting a potential star in your system. Maybe even a guy who could pitch for you this year. I mean, when you're advanced in your college career, certainly by next year, I could see him up here. Any clues that you have as to who they might go with that top overall pick?
No. I wish I could give you some sort of secret. No, they're still in the middle of it. Anytime, you know, Carrington has been adamant about every one of these decisions. You know, we're going to take every minute that we can to decide. And that's very much how they operate. I will say this though, Joe. They love college hitters, and that's sort of the scouting on them. You know, you look at who they've drafted, Nick Gonzalez, Henry Davis. They like that sort of approach. So, again, it would not shock me at all if they kept things simple and drafted Dylan Cruz. I was on with you and Ron, you know, last week talking about this, and we brought up the Boris angle. And I think that's a real input here. But at the same time, like, that's not automatically going to dissuade me from taking Dylan Cruz. And one thing that I wanted to mention in there that I didn't get a chance to, like, Ben Cherington actually has a pretty good relationship with Scott Boras. Scott Boras actually likes Ben Cherington a great deal. Like, for all of the small market Boras big agent sort of friction that can exist, that's not one. So anyway, I present that to say it is a tough thing to look past Cruz, given everything that's written about him, people that have seen him and what they think, like, to bypass that for Skeens. And then if he has an injury totally outside of his control, it's just, I don't know, given their sort of what they look for in a draft and a prospect, to go outside of that, to get a pitcher, to take that risk. I just have a tough time seeing it sometimes. I really do.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good one.
Jason Mackey, read his stuff at the Post Gazette, postgazette.com. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us or me, since Ron is on vacation, on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Same number, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Coming up, Jerry Dulac's chat is mighty interesting today over at the Post-Gazette. Who is the Steelers' offensive player with the best chance of being an All-Pro this season? Hear his answer to that one. Bradshaw or Ben? Hear his answer to that one. And somebody called Bob Prince was the best. Ask Jerry, in your opinion, which assistant coach coordinator has made the greatest impact on the Steelers since Tomlin's hire? Jerry has a definitive answer. Let's talk about all of that next on Cook and Joe. The Fan wants to visit your youth baseball and softball teams in action with the Pirates, parents, and coaches. Email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your team 12 and younger. And the Fan might make a stop to see a game or tournament, brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
As always, Jerry Dulac's chat is mighty interesting this week. I'm eating a Pop-Tart, Nicholas. You like these?
I do like Pop-Tarts.
What flavor?
Brown cinnamon sugar.
Me too. And that's exactly what I have. Would you like one of them? I'll share it.
I would love one.
All right. I'll go back and get it. I left it in the kitchen.
Okay.
See how friendly I am?
You are very friendly.
Was I a friendly teacher? Was I a good teacher at Waynesburg for you?
I'd say so, yes.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that. Have you read Jerry Dulac's chat yet today?
I have not.
Some very, very interesting stuff in here. Let's go over a couple of questions and answers from the Dulac chat.
Did I make an appearance today?
No, but Johnny Sins is in here. Johnny Sins did ask Jerry a question. Who is the Steelers' offensive player with the best chance of being an all-pro this season? Jerry says, probably none. That's an eye-opener, although he's probably right. I think Pickett's going to be better. He's not going to be an all-pro. That's, how many all-pro teams are there? Two or three? I can't remember. I think just two. He's not going to be first or second team all-pro. Najee, I don't think, is going to be first or second team all-pro, although I think he's going to be featured to the point where if it's like the second half of last season, he has a shot at a big year if he stays healthy. Seumalo, I would give the best chance on the offensive line for that. Does Freiermuth have a chance at that? Probably not. Certainly not first team if Travis Kelce stays healthy. Who were the all pros last year at tight end? I can't even remember. It must have been Kelce. Must have been one. Let me look at these teams from last year, and then wide receiver wise, Deontay certainly is going to be that. Pickens might be the most talented guy at his position on the whole offense. He might be. He might be the most talented player on that offense. Is he ready to make that kind of leap with all the great receivers in the league? I don't know about that. First team offense last year, Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, Travis Kelce, and then the receivers were Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. That's a tough group to crack. Maybe the running back is the one vulnerable spot last year. Trent Williams, Lane Johnson, Betonio, Jason Kelce, Zach Martin. I don't think there's going to be somebody there. Second team, Jalen Hurts, Nick Chubb, George Kittle's the other guy I'm thinking of. Yes. And then the second team receivers, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, and C.D. Lamb. Maybe there's a spot with three receivers. Maybe Deontay has his greatest year yet, but I think George Pickens is the guy that I would pick to have a better shot at that type of honor. And then, you know, the offensive linemen, they don't matter to you. They don't matter to me, unless you're thinking of Chris Lidstrom from the Falcons. I don't know. Seumalo seems to me to be their best offensive lineman. I think everybody around the league would agree to that. So maybe Jerry's on to something. If I had to rank them, I would say if Kittle or Kelce gets hurt, then Freiermuth might have a chance. Najee and Pickens and Seumalo. I'll put them in order. I'll say Freiermuth, Najee, Seumalo, Pickens. Those are your chances for all pro. But overall, I think Jerry's on to something with that one. Here's another good one. Stallworth 82 checks in. Why does anyone think Tomlin is suddenly going to be competing for a championship while he was historically bad in the playoffs with loaded rosters and Ben the last 12 or so years? Dulac, I'm not going to argue this point. Not at all. Isn't that interesting, Harry? Huh?
Yeah.
What do you find interesting about it, Harry?
I mean, he hasn't won playoff games with the loaded roster. I go back to 2018, though, when he had to manage Le'Veon Bell's holdout and Antonio Brown being terrible. I don't know. I mean, you can think that you have talented players, but sometimes there might be other circumstances that...
Well, yes, it is fair to mention that he did go into Denver for a playoff game without Bell and Brown.
Losing to Tim Tebow was rough, though. I do remember.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. I don't know that I'm going to argue that point either. And when he does get in the playoffs, his team has given up 40 or more points three straight times. That's a first in NFL history. And the NFL's been around for a while. So I'm not inspired to believe based on, recent history. We're talking a decade now, over a decade. And again, the Houston Texans have more wins over the past, I believe, 12 years. More playoff wins than the Steelers. They do. A lot of people think that's unfair. Cherry picking a time frame there. I'll just say a decade. A decade is a normal time frame, right? A lot of people measure things by the decade. What have the Steelers really done in a decade? Okay. Let's go on to the next one. Hi, Jerry, says the professor. What do you see this year as reasonable expectations for Pickens? I think he should really explode if Matt Canada uses him correctly, Jerry says, and if he develops a few crossing routes. So then the question becomes, I saw a great number yesterday too. The question becomes, is he not running crossing routes or is nobody running them because of Matt Canada or for other reasons? Is this guy capable of expanding his route tree here? Is he going to be a one-trick pony? I hope not. I hope he's more than that. He seems like he could be more than that. And now I lost the number that I had for you last year. Because yesterday, Mackey brought up this number about how Kenny Pickett was actually good on deep balls from PFF. And my contention immediately was that's a deceiving number. Like one of the criterion there was he didn't make turnovers on deep balls. Well, yeah, that's because he threw the ball 18 yards out of bounds intentionally a lot because they had the handcuffs on him. Of course, he didn't make turnovers way down the field. He didn't take chances way down the field. Hardly ever. Here's the number. TD scored from outside the red zone last year, as if you need more proof that the Steelers didn't have an explosive offense, period, and certainly not an explosive pass game. Okay, so touchdown scored from outside the red zone. Philly, Vegas led the league. San Fran, Seattle, Buffalo next. They're all up around 15, 16, 17. Cincinnati, New England, surprisingly, Miami, New Orleans, Dallas, Green Bay. Kansas City with only 8. But you know what? That's 6 more than the Steelers, who were last in the NFL. Last in the NFL with what I would call quick strike scores, touchdowns from outside the red zone. That more than anything else has to change, man. You have to add an explosive element to your offense. You just have to. You have to let your quarterback take some chances. You don't have a home run hitter in the backfield. You're not getting, 60-yard touchdown runs. I can tell you that. You're probably not even getting 40-yard touchdown runs. So let's take some chances. I mean, that's pathetic. Yeah, I don't care who your quarterback is. They brought in Mitch, by the way, with the idea that he would win. Oh, here's a guy who's led his team to the playoffs, veteran quarterback. We went out and spent a bunch of money. This was last year to revamp our offensive line. We've got weapons. 2 touchdowns from outside the red zone. They're down there with Indy, Atlanta, the Rams, Tampa, Houston. Think about that. The dregs of the league. So that needs to change more than anything. And that stat of Pickett being good on deep balls. He might be good on deep balls, and he might be this year. But last year, whatever stat would show you that is an extremely deceiving one, as they often are. All right. Here's another one. Saw, this is Mr. R texting in or tweeting in or emailing in. I don't know how Jerry does this. Saw some national media that claims the Steelers are the most improved team after free agency and the draft. What say you, Dulac? I don't know about most improved, but they are right up there. I like just about everything they did in free agency and the draft. I liked their draft. What they did in free agency, some of it I liked, some of it I didn't. I have major questions about the inside linebackers, whether that's actually going to be an improvement. You could say anybody improve over Devin Bush, maybe. Maybe. I thought Miles Jack and Bush were better than the year before when it was Schobert and whoever it was the year before. Only because Bush, and it was Bush the year before too, only because Bush got a tiny bit better. He went from historically hideous to just bad. And because Jack was a slight improvement over Schobert. And again, that position went from horrible to the point that Schobert couldn't get a job in the NFL to below average with Miles Jack. So where are we now? Two average players? Man, I would sign up for that. I hope that's the case. Ogunjobi, I didn't love that deal for a guy right around 30 who's had injury issues. I don't love that deal. Now, you get Ogunjobi healthy. Like the first game of the season with the Niners, I love the Steelers in that game if they're healthy defensively. Because they're going to be, we've seen it the past couple of years, when they're right and intact defensively, they've been downright destructive, but they've had no depth at key positions, and they've had injuries to stars and also nagging injuries to the likes of Ogunjobi, who played in a bunch of games, but never seemed right. A couple weeks he did, and he was great. But I question giving that much money to him. I question the Peterson deal at his age. What role is he actually going to be capable of fulfilling here? So I'm not totally with Jerry on all of that. And here's another good one. Let me find it here. Oh, here it is. It's the one I mentioned. In your opinion, this is Bob Prince was the best, which is a great handle. Which assistant coach / coordinator has made the greatest impact on the Steelers since Tomlin's hire? Jerry says Mike Munchak. I really can't argue with that one, although Dick LeBeau had a pretty big impact, right? He had a pretty big impact. But Mike Munchak was great with the offensive line, with the run game coordinator. We just talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He wants to get back in the league, by the way, Mike Munchak. And I can't believe that people aren't knocking down his door, if not this year, next year. Maybe he said next year because he's had, I think, knee replacement surgery. But he was a great, great coach. One other one in here on Tomlin and Bradshaw and Ben. I'll get to that next. Top of the hour, we have Jonathan Bomboli on the Penguins and Kyle Dubas and who knows what else. But up next, I want to talk about what Jerry said and what I say when someone texts in and says, I'll take Bradshaw over Ben every time. Talk about that next on Cookin' Joe. Very much enjoying the Dulac chat at postgazette.com. Not enjoying the fact that Ron isn't here. Am I lying there, Harry? Let me think about that. Am I enjoying the fact that... No, I'm not enjoying it. I wish Ron was here. I wish when I looked across this table that Ron was pacing and watching the soap opera and eating on the air. I do.
Well, you know, he always introduces himself for... He's like, oh, what's up, big boy?
He likes Whenever you a lot. In, Ron has great affection for you. Yes.
I do miss that. It feels a little emptier without.
Yeah.
We got the big boy here today.
Right. Empty is a good word. I feel empty and sad when Ron isn't here. And I can't wait till he gets back on Monday. And then I'm on vacation the following week. Orlando, Florida. When's your vacation coming, Harry?
Not sure.
You heading to Pitcairn this year?
Where?
You ever been to Pitcairn over by Blawnox?
No.
I want to take you to the beach, Harry. Would you like to go?
We already scheduled a concert, didn't we?
Yeah, where's the concert?
I forget.
So do I.
Uh-oh.
I think it was Kansas, right?
That sounds right. I like Kansas.
Yeah. Why don't we go to Kansas together?
So we're going to the beach and then we're going to a concert.
I think we should. Yeah. I've wanted to take a road trip with Ron and he just simply refuses. One time Ron and I drove to Cleveland. He drove. He's the type who needs to be behind the wheel. I don't think he can handle not being behind the wheel.
I believe it.
And we had a wonderful time together, I thought. Great bonding on that trip to Cleveland. He met Bailey, my dog, at my house.
Aw.
Have you seen Bailey? Have you met him in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Harry and I live on the same street right here in Greentree. And you have seen Bailey. You've met him?
Yes.
Seemed like a personable little fella, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very kind. Have you found, you have a dog, right?
Yes.
Have you found that neighbors get upset when you take the dog out for a walk?
No, but Larry's my dog. He's very aggressive, so he kind of just barks at anybody. So I think everybody's annoyed with him to an extent when he does that. That's why we take him to a dog park, the way he can run around and share space instead of being territorial about our yard.
I think that's very good thinking, Harry. And I commend you for that.
Thank you for commending me.
Thank you for thanking me for commending you.
Thank you for...
Let's get back to the chat here. Bob Prince was the best. Says to Jerry Dulac, I'll take Bradshaw over Ben every time. Which QB is your preference? Jerry's answer? Well, one did win four Super Bowls. Is that the best criterion? Is that what we're deciding? I'm not saying that's wrong or bad, but it sounds like Jerry's taking Bradshaw in that battle because of the Super Bowls, because he was 4-0. It's a pretty good reason, I would say. But I have to say, well, let's frame it like this. Because we've reached the point in the sports calendar where we're asking classic Pittsburgh sports questions here. You have one game to win. I'm not going to ask who had the better career resume, because even with the four Super Bowls, Ben's got the better numbers. It's a different game these days. Ben probably goes to four Super Bowls with the 70 Steelers. What does Bradshaw do with the modern-day Steelers? I don't know the answers to all of that. Clearly, though, Ben has the better numbers over time. It's a different game. But let's phrase it this way. You have one game to win. One. And you can take either Bradshaw or Ben right out of their prime, at their very best, at the height of their powers. Which one you taking to win that game? Which one are you taking? And I think I'm taking Bradshaw. Here's what I'll say about Bradshaw. He was, in my opinion, the greatest clutch deep ball passer of all time. The greatest clutch deep ball passer. And in those last two Super Bowls, really the last three, he made one of the greatest Super Bowl throws of all time when he got lit up. It was the Lynn Swan game. It wasn't one of those catches along the sidelines, though. It was the touchdown, whatever it was, 64 yards, something like that. At least that's how far he threw it in the air. It seemed like 70 as he was getting concussed, Bradshaw did. And it dropped right into Swan's, right into the breadbasket at the goal line. One of the great throws you'll ever see. And he could move, too. Make no mistake about that. I mean, Ben was plenty nimble early in his career. And was an unbelievable playmaker. And we know from his comeback, his winning drive in the Super Bowl, also a great clutch player early in his career. And a great clutch player in the regular season later in his career. But Bradshaw was also a great runner, which I don't think a lot of people give him credit for. He was an absolute bull on the field. And you look at his running numbers from his career, and he had scored a ton of touchdowns. His rushing numbers, he ran for 2,300 yards just about with 32 touchdowns, Bradshaw did. So I'm giving a slight advantage to Bradshaw there. One game to win, I would take Bradshaw over Ben. I'd feel good about either. Let me make that very clear. I'd feel good about either guy in a big game. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, in their primes, I might add. Ben didn't do great in big games over the latter part of his career. That's well documented. But you take either one of these guys out of his prime, and I think you have a pretty good chance to win a game, all things being equal. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 tracks and online at sunchevy.com. Hazy today, an air quality alert still in place, and a high of 70 degrees. Coming up next, my friend Jonathan Bomboli. He comes in whenever Ron is out. I don't think Ron approves of Jonathan as a guest. I don't know why. Maybe because he works for the Trib. I don't know why. But he sure does come on the show and Ron's gone. It's like having a party, like having Starkfest when the parents were away back when I was a junior and senior in high school, Harry. And do you know what happened one year?
What happened?
Parents away, Friday night, very light snowfalls and then freezes, and that was Starkfest 1. Way more people came to the party than I thought would come to the party.
Oh.
And their footsteps froze into the yard. And it's a very, very big yard. It's an old farmhouse. So that was a bust. That was a bust. Even by Sunday, I didn't really care at that point, but it was very obvious that many, many, many people had arrived at our property over the weekend. And Starkfest 1 turned into a bust. The parents weren't pleased.
Oh.
Very sad.
Sorry.
If we were friends back then, Harry, you certainly would have been invited to Starkfest 1. You would have been there, sitting right around the keg, I think.
Thank you kindly, sir.
You're welcome, and thank you for thanking me. Coming up next, Harry, are you sticking around?
Yep. T-Bird is on delay right now.
What happened to T-Bird?
I don't know.
We just go hour by hour here with producers, don't we?
I guess so, yeah.
Just a new guy every hour? But you're sticking around for two. Jonathan Bomboli, great on Hockey Talk, and ask him about the Penguins' immediate future. That's coming up next on Cook and Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.